Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Monday Morning Recap, everyone. As always, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will double your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros, doubling that first deposit up to $1,000. I'm going to need it after this week.
Did you lose any big bets?
Yeah. Something happened this weekend. Just one. God damn it. I can't believe it. Ohio State went down to Michigan. Where are you going, Georgia? Where are you popping out to back there?
Just framing. Are we talking about a mediocre program right now?
Who?
Ohio State?
No. We're talking about a mediocre coach right now. They got outcoached in this one. I don't think they got outplayed. I think they got outcoached in this one. If you would have told me before the game, C.J. Stroud would have 350 and two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Marvin Harrison would have over 100 and a touchdown. The freshman that filled in for Jackson Smith and Jigma would have over 100.
By the way, I saw an insane stat about Marvin Harrison.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we'll get to him because he might
be the one where he had over 1,000 yards and
zero drops.
Well, he has one drop now because he dropped one pass.
He did, yeah. He dropped one pass.
Still, it's like the most incredible shit.
Right.
Ever.
There's no way Njigma's better than Marvin Harrison. No. Jr. is the best wide receiver I've seen in college football, probably since Ja'Marr Chase. And he's probably going to be a top five pick when he leaves.
Yeah, he's got another year left. Yeah. We'll see. The other kid broke every record there was last year, so who fucking knows? But if you would have told me that the quarterback in Michigan would have been 12 for 24, all of those things before this game started, I would have said, great, Ohio State wins that game easily. And it came down to five plays. And I thought, as much as I hate to say this because I think he's a fucking dork, just an absolute dork, Harbaugh outcoached Ryan Day, and there was nothing he could do about it. I thought it was a masterful performance by Michigan's coaching staff, and it all came down to literally five plays, and they were all over 45 yards for touchdowns. And that's kind of it.
Well, there's one other play.
Which one?
That one of the best pass breakups I've ever seen.
Mm. Yeah.
He broke up that I mean, that was a touchdown.
It was, but that kid, do you see the arm brace he had on? Like, he was all fucked up. And to me, like, because my grandparents and all that stuff were big Ohio State fans, these were the games that they talked about in the 60s and 70s, where it was Woody Hayes versus Bo Schembechler. Mm. And it was coach on coach. Everybody was hurt from Michigan. Everybody was hurt from Ohio State. The starting running back was our linebacker. For the game, like he was our starting running back this week. It was odd to see, but it was fun. And the guy who came in for Corum had a broken hand as well for Michigan. The linebacker for Ohio State had two broken hands. They were calling him Tommy Two Thumbs because he had two casts on his hands throughout the game.
That got a chuckle out of Gus.
Sure did.
Yeah, it did.
Sure did. So as far as it, you know, from a fan standpoint, yes, it sucks, but watching that game, it was a fucking masterful performance from Michigan's coaching staff, and I actually have a new appreciation for Michigan. I would like to see what that team is like full strength, and Ohio State is like full strength in the playoffs, but we'll see if Ohio State can hold up or make it in at the end of this, but I actually enjoyed the game. It just was not in our favor, obviously. I can't recall any time like it that a quarterback was 12 for 24 and just...
That's what Michigan does.
You stack the box, and he just went over your heads. I mean, there was, what, three plays that were...
Yeah, 45 yards or longer, but that's
obvious.
Almost
75 yards.
That was obviously going to be Michigan's plan. Obviously. They knew that Ohio State was going to try to stack the box to stop the run game. And every single time this dude who hasn't really done much for Michigan as a quarterback this year just threw easy lollipop passes to wide open receivers.
Yep.
That's the kind of shit you see when Michigan plays fucking Iowa State or something, not when they play Ohio State.
Yep.
And this Ohio State team, forget about all the injuries and all that bullshit. they're damn near professional athletes, and they were completely unprepared for this game, both in strategy and in performance. It wasn't just the coach, although Ryan Day did lose in this game ultimately.
So what are the defensive coordinator? How do you let up that plays? Like, because I watched it. Look, they stacked the box for the thing. Even in the second half, they didn't make any adjustments to it. I remember going to the bathroom at halftime, and I looked up the score. It was 20-17. I was like, man, how the fuck did they get 17 points? A 69-yard pass happened in the first half, and a 75-yard pass.
Mm-hmm. You see games like that sometimes where you're like, okay, they're close, like they're 3 points behind, but they literally like had two fluky touchdowns, right?
It's like that's watching, what I thought. It's like watching an academy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's like, oh shit, they threw the ball.
Yeah.
And exactly. You look at it and you're like, that's not what they're doing, is not sustainable. It's like watching a college basketball game and the team is like shooting 80% from three in the first half, and
tell that to Nate Oates.
Right. Yeah. You're like, things will even out, things will regress. But it just didn't.
Yeah, but Michigan didn't try to. They didn't stick with the same game plan in the second. They did for the first. Their first possession where they scored that touchdown in the third quarter, they did. But then they just started running the ball right down Ohio State's throat, and Ohio State couldn't stop them. This dude, Donovan Edwards, had 216 yards on the ground. You're like, oh shit, that's a lot of yards. 150 of those yards were on two plays.
160. Yep. Yeah. Two plays.
160. Two yeah. plays. Yeah. So it's like he had 56 yards other than two plays.
And the quarterback would have had 60 yard passing if it weren't for the three plays. So it came down to five.
McCarthy made those throws.
He did.
And those were the throws that McNamara wasn't making last year.
Well, so. not only did he make the throws, but they called the exact perfect plays for the exact perfect moment, and it came down to five plays, and they beat them.
Yeah, but it wasn't trickery. It wasn't like flea flickers or any of this bullshit. It was plays that, as a coach at a major university, yep, Ryan Day should have expected. This is exactly how Michigan should have played that game, and that should have been very obvious, especially to the guy who was game planning for them.
I agree.
But at no point during this game did it look like Ryan Day knew what the fuck he was doing.
I said that on Twitter. I was like, he looks lost. And the defensive coordinator, they didn't make any changes at halftime at all.
Sure, but you also scored 3 points in the second half.
We did, but when you're down like that, because one of them was they came out and had an 8-minute drive, and they looked shell-shocked after that. Ohio State came down the field, had a chance to score, ended up settling for a field goal at that point.
Pass breakup, right?
Yes, correct.
Because that pass breakup wasn't late when Ohio State was trying to come back. That was at a crucial moment in the game when Ohio State needed a touchdown.
Kick the field goal, get it to one score.
But, and by the way,
the only reason they kicked the field goal is because of the breakup of that pass. Otherwise, right, Ohio State goes up at that point. And to me,
and they're going punch for punch.
Right. And that's what changed the game where, oh fuck, you got to do it. And then Ryan Day,
well, no, the field goal made it an 8-point game,
right? So even with eight, you know, there was 7 minutes left in the game and you're only down by one score. Ryan Day, there was a 4th-and-4 that was right around the 45, and he decided to punt and not go for it, which is something that Urban Meyer never fucking did. And even after the game, CJ Stroud, because he was on the field pissed, and they interviewed him and they said, hey, did you want to go? He goes, yeah, I want to fucking go for it. I don't understand why we didn't. And I think that sends a message to your team that you don't have confidence in them, and it's just bad coaching.
Now, I know you think Texas won't be back until they hire Urban Meyer, but is Ohio State going to be back unless they hire Urban
Meyer? I don't think so. I think this game and the games last year, you could make up excuses for, like, injuries and COVID and shit like that affected one of their games as well. But this game, the moment was too big for Ryan Day. That's what happened in this game.
I'm kind of trolling right now.
No, but you're right.
I can't. No,
this game was too big for him. This is the only game on their schedule that matters in any given year, especially this year. Right?
With how bad the Big Ten is, it's that game. I mean, Penn State, too.
Penn State's really good.
There's three good teams in the Big Ten.
Three out of the top nine are Big Ten teams. I mean, it's 33% of the thing. Like, Penn State is great. Their only two losses were Ohio State and Michigan. So it's to be expected.
Should have lost Purdue.
Purdue's in the championship.
Well.
So we'll see what they do against Michigan.
They're going to get destroyed.
Either way, it was very clear that Ryan Day isn't good enough to be at a university like Ohio State.
He won the first game against Michigan and hung 63 points on them. So it's hard to say.
And a meaningless game, right?
Like no. Michigan's always ranked.
Yeah, but they were ranked like 15th or something in that game. 3 years ago. They weren't that good. Last year they were okay, but McNamara sucked, so they had problems there. They still beat Ohio State. This year they got
Michigan went to the CFP last year.
They but McNamara he was not there for them. That's why he's not the starter this year and why he's in the transfer portal as of today. But as soon as they got a guy who was even just a legit game manager who doesn't turn the ball over, which is what McCarthy is, they were able to succeed immediately, right?
Yeah.
But those old teams, Ohio State should have beat them. This year, this is a good matchup. But Ryan Day shrank from the moment. When it came time to make ballsy decisions, he made bitch decisions.
Now, your boy, too, Luke Fickell, at Wisconsin.
Yep. Did not want Luke Fickell. So Luke Fickell actually, I heard that online, too. Everybody was like, I want Luke Fickell. He was there for a year. So he took over when Tressel had the tattoo gate with, Terrell Pryor. Terrell Pryor traded the pair of game pants for a free tattoo.
For some tats.
In today's world, it seems fucking crazy that they would suspend him for a year. The whole program, by the way. Fickell was our coach for an entire year, and he was 7-6.
I think this was the last time you guys lost to Michigan.
It was.
Yeah.
And so that guy...
last year.
I'm glad he went to Wisconsin. I think it's good for Wisconsin and everything else. I don't really want him as a coach.
That's a perfect program.
It is.
That's a perfect Power 5 program for him.
It is.
You hate to see it, Cincinnati. You really do. You really hate it.
Well, you knew what was going to happen, right? And we said this a few weeks ago. They're going to the Big 12 now.
Yeah, they're going to be our biggest rival.
That was his time to jump ship.
And it is going to be easier for him to make Big 10 conference championship games than it would have been to make AAC conference championship games, let alone Big 12 conference championship games.
Which he made one, by the way.
Yeah, because the Big 10 West is so fucking bad. You can roll through that with one or no losses, get to the conference championship game, hope you can just, beat basically Michigan or Ohio State, maybe Penn State, play a good game, and then boom, you're in the CFP. Like, that is, the path is so wide open at Wisconsin. Well,
hang on, dude, because Nebraska got somebody, too.
They did.
The Rule, baby!
And that was a great hire, too, I think.
I know. And then you've got USC and UCLA headed over there.
I always forget about that.
I mean, it's going to be stacked, and you're going to be down to the Big Ten and the SEC.
I don't think UCLA is going to be a factor.
No, but in basketball. So, look, that matters in the long run.
Yeah, but in football,
even Kansas still being in that conference will be big for basketball. Of like, you guys are in the conference.
Big 12's
gonna be sick. Yes,
Big 12 split the money. You're getting Houston.
Yep.
You're getting BYU.
Cincinnati's got a good basketball team every year. So it's great for the conference.
We're not very good.
Well, that's fine.
You're not there for basketball.
But you're decent at football. You're decent at football. But to put a cap on this Michigan thing here, the other thing that I noticed from Michigan, I was curious to hear his presser afterwards from Harbaugh, was the way that they changed this program to an old school 1970 style team where you just run the ball, you're heavy on tight ends, you don't really have the quarterbacks. And he said afterwards, he goes, we will never have the personnel on the field that Ohio State does, meaning the players and recruits, which I don't really understand. I mean, he's right in saying that, but it was shocking to hear.
They should still have really good recruits.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
He's just essentially running a lesser, he's obviously doesn't have the same talent as Georgia, but kind of a similar offense and game plan to Georgia.
Yep.
But if you notice his look, he has the flat billed hat, he's got the glasses like Schembechler.
He looks like he's
running the ball, they're running the same offense, they're doing the same shit. And it's working. I haven't seen it in college football, which is why this game was fascinating. I haven't seen it in college football in 15 years, maybe.
Georgia just
won,
right?
The old school Alabama teams.
The old school Alabama team. Yeah. I mean, it's a throwback.
He's not a good quarterback.
So we'll flip on over to Georgia. Surprisingly, in my DMs, I didn't really get a lot of Ohio State comments. I got more comments about Stetson fucking Bennett. Georgia fans still hate this guy.
It's insane.
And I flipped over. They were only up 10-7 over Georgia Tech at halftime.
Throw out the record. I can't even say it for that.
No, you can't say it for that game.
Yes, you can. No, if I can say it for USF, you can say it for Georgia Tech.
No. So you can't. People are bitching about him. I looked up his stats because I was watching the Ohio State game, so I didn't watch any of this game except for the scores. I think Stetson Bennett only threw for 120 yards or 140 yards.
Look, and let me tell you this right now. I think I said this a couple times on this show over the past weeks, and I am all in. Michigan's going to win the national championship.
No.
And it is in part because Stetson Bennett's is having a bit of a down year, one. And two, the two teams that Georgia has looked the worst against this year are dollar store versions of this Michigan team. Missouri, yes, and Kentucky.
Yep. And I thought about that as I watched this game, and I thought to myself, all right, you got 5 weeks off until Corum comes back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully he can, because you want to see the best play. So if Blake Corum comes back, that matchup, like exactly like you said a few weeks ago, against Georgia could be fucking wild, because Michigan's got a great defense.
Yep.
They're very fucking disciplined, and they're going to run the same thing. It's going to be tight end heavy, and they're going to be running backs.
They're going
just played this game last year.
Yeah, you're leaving out a very crucial element here, which is that Georgia is able to get to the quarterback and Ohio State is not.
I don't care about it. I'm throwing Ohio State out. I'm Michigan. Okay, I'm saying, yeah. Michigan. Michigan.
Exactly. Versus Michigan last week, Ohio State could not get pressure on their quarterback, and that's why they ended up losing this game.
So you think Georgia can?
Yeah, they can.
Georgia can, for sure. But I think
Georgia-Michigan is just a repeat of last year.
It's not. It's not.
I don't think so.
All those insane upperclassmen dudes are gone. Georgia is still stacked, obviously.
They're still stacked,
but it's a
defense.
younger roster, and they've played like it. They've played like it this year. I watched every fucking second of that Missouri game, for example.
We were getting to Bennett over and over again. They didn't give a shit. Like, anytime Georgia played somebody in, like, prime time, big time game, Oregon, all these, like...
Oregon's week one. Not that it's not impressive, but it's week one.
Tennessee, they destroyed them.
Okay, so, but let me read off their schedule, and you tell me if this is as impressive as some of the other SEC teams. Because we talked about this last week about people getting lucky with a schedule.
Tennessee doesn't have a good defense, by the way.
Right. Oregon was week one. Samford, which is Division II school.
It's fine.
South Carolina. Kent State, Missouri, which they struggled, and Missouri should have won that game. Auburn sucks. Vanderbilt sucks.
That's before Cadillac was coaching.
Sure, right. Florida has had a down year.
Florida's okay.
Tennessee was an absolute trouncing. I will 100% give that. Like, that was not close, and there was a garbage touchdown. Then after that, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Georgia Tech, and now you're playing LSU. You didn't have an Alabama on the schedule this year. Mm-hmm.
They do not play well against ball control teams with good defenses this year. They haven't done it.
They played poorly against two teams they overlooked and just kind of like fucked around.
That's fine. I will make a wager with you on this Michigan game. If they match up.
Michigan's going to have their full attention, and they're going to trounce Michigan.
Nope. Yes, this is Michigan's to lose.
It could be. They looked good, and without their best player, they looked great.
They might not play Michigan.
They won't play them first round if things hold.
No, I'm saying I don't think it's going to be a Michigan-Georgia.
So let's hop into that, right? So 1-2 are Georgia, right? There's no way Georgia loses this weekend to LSU, correct? Mm-hmm. We'll start with you, Dan.
It'd be funny, but no.
No, right? There's no way. LSU got fucking rocked by A&M by three or four scores.
But Georgia doesn't even have to win.
That's right. But that will move them down in the rankings. So.
Yeah, they'll go from one to like four.
Correct, right? Or three or whatever it is. Yeah. Two is Michigan. There's no way they lose to Purdue. I think the spread is...
They'll hold it too.
20-something points.
Like, yeah, I think 30 or something.
Yeah. So they're going to hold it too. That's going to be your onesie-twosies. Yeah. Then here's the mystery, right?
It gets interesting.
TCU. Do they beat Kansas State this weekend? You guys know more about these, like a Kansas State team than D'Anthony and I do. Is there a shot? Because I looked at this point spread. The point spread is 2.5.
Yeah. Kansas State can beat them, yeah.
Kansas State is hot. They've played well all year. I mean, like, on and off. Like, they were really good early in the season.
I mean, Kleiman's a really good coach. He won a bunch of national championships at North Dakota State.
Yeah.
So that was a great hire for Kansas State.
TCU can't fuck around. I don't know that TCU can lose this game and go to the playoff. And they knew that, too, because that's why they kept playing against Iowa State. That's why they hung 62 on Iowa State.
Is because of what? I'm sorry.
Style points.
Oh, yeah. I flipped over to that afterwards, and I was like, oh, shit. I don't know what happened to Iowa State this year. Usually, they're a decent team, and they upset one or two people on their schedule.
They're like maybe a feisty 4-6 win team.
But... Yeah, Campbell kind of missed his window to take another job.
Yeah.
He was a hot name for a minute. Like, he could have got a big-time program and just kind of passed up on it.
Maybe he didn't want it. So does TCU make the playoffs then?
Yes.
If they win?
If they win.
No. If they win, they're in. We know that. But do you think they will make it and get in this weekend?
Yes.
Okay. What about you, Delco?
I'm cheering for it. I want TCU to win the whole thing because everyone is treating TCU almost like a G5 program, which I don't understand.
They're not getting respect.
No, the Big 12 is a really solid conference this year.
Yeah. They don't have like some insane team with a couple top five recruiting classes in it, but the depth is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they have the best receiver in the country in Quentin Johnson. Duggan's a gamer. Like, he just pulls shit out of his ass.
Sonny Dykes, great coach.
Yeah.
What about you, Bob? You think TCU beats Kansas State this weekend?
I think they do. There's just no, I mean, that would be just such a choke job. They're never going to be back here. Or if they do, it's going to be in 10, 15 years. I mean, this is, for a program like that, it is really like a once in a decade.
And that is why I think they're going to lose. Yep. Like, I'm cheering for TCU, but I think Kansas State is actually going to win the game.
It's a big moment.
It can't just be the top four. It never is, right? Somebody always loses this weekend.
And you know who's going to sneak in that back door is your Buckeyes.
Yes, they are.
Buckeyes are going to sneak right on in after a 3 scorch rounds.
Yes, they are. The 2 scores at the end, I don't really give a shit about. And we have precedent for that because it happened last year. Bama beats Georgia by 30, and then they put him right back in the playoffs. So the same thing will happen. It just depends on if it will. Like,
or that Penn State year where they won the Big Ten and with 2 losses, mm-hmm. but they lost to you, so Ohio State got in. They beat Ohio State.
Ohio
State's only 1 loss was
Penn State. I know Alabama got in because we had 2 losses. I forget what that was too. And it's the same thing with Alabama this year. They got 2 losses. They won't get in either. What about this USC game, D'Anthony? Who do you got in USC versus Utah? This is a rematch. This is a great game. The first time it happened, I thought USC was a horrific roughing the passer call away from winning this. They should have won. How do you beat a team twice, though, and especially on a neutral field?
Vegas.
I know.
Yeah, in Vegas on a neutral field. I mean, if it's in Utah, I probably don't think USC can win because Utah's got a very good defense and a really good defensive scheme as well. USC is the 5th-ranked offense in the country, right? If you look down the list of yards and points per game, USC is at 5. And there aren't many, like, the other Power 5 teams in front of them are also in the hunt here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, Tennessee was one of them.
Yep. Ohio State, Tennessee. Yeah. Tennessee was 1. Ohio State was 2 before this game. I don't know where they're at now.
I don't know what it is now.
Points-wise.
But this is going to be, it's a matchup battle, right? So, USC's got an okay defense, but they fucking can run the score. In a neutral game like that, with Utah doesn't really have anything to play for except for the conference championship. Like, they're not going to the CFP.
You still want to hang a banner.
You want to hang a banner and fuck spoil. Up USC's yeah, seasons, sure. But I think I think USC's probably got that game. But, although it would be way funnier if both USC and TCU lose.
Who are you more concerned to being in Vegas, like Thursday night, Friday?
The
Utah
Mormons?
Players?
Yeah, or USC.
I mean, yeah, but USC players are going from L.A. to fucking Vegas. It's not like they're going from Kentucky or some shit.
Yeah, but look.
It's a good thing it's a Friday night, though, because you win the game Friday night. You have the whole weekend to party in Vegas.
Oh, dude, it's great. It's a fucking dream. Every bowl game should be in Vegas. Every single game. Like, that should be it. And then we all go, and everybody hangs out, and it's a college fuckery for a week and a half. What do you think, Delco? You got Utah or USC?
So I just put a future ticket on the Trojans at 12-1 to win the national championship.
Smart. So I think they're
just because of the value. Yep. I think they beat Utah, and then I just need to get them. I need them to get to the national championship so I can just kind of hedge.
So if that, what you just bet on, if that happens, then USC is 4, and they would play Georgia week 1 in the CFP.
Yep, right.
And you think they can beat Georgia?
I think they can beat Georgia.
I do too.
Yeah.
But Michigan can't?
No. Because Michigan doesn't have the firepower.
Neither does Georgia. That's the problem. Georgia has handled teams with firepower like USC quite well. They have handled they have not handled teams like Michigan well at all this entire year.
Caleb Williams is just kind of like a dude. He's an X factor. He can take over. I can see this being like the Vince Young run in 2005 where he just kind of...
Hendon Hooker was a dude, too.
I know.
Go look for him now.
I know. And Ohio State's offense
was in the emergency room, so I don't know if that's a fair comparison.
Listen. His ACL was gone.
Ohio State's offense, it's all first-round draft picks, and they were fine. They were fine against
that
them.
That doesn't mean anything, though.
It's the same thing with USC. They got the talent, but...
I don't think you... Like, if you get into a back-and-forth on offense... then maybe Georgia has some issues, but I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, again, the X factor from my perspective is Georgia's ability to rush the quarterback, right? So all these fucking passes that homeboy from Michigan made, McCarthy made, their seven-step drop and then a dump pass. It looks like it's a play action, right?
Yeah.
They're stacking the box, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, immediate release, and it's over the top to a receiver who's beaten his guy. Georgia, you don't have seven steps.
Right.
You just don't have that amount of time to get rid of that ball. Now, Harbaugh's not stupid. He's coached poorly over the past decade or so, but all of a sudden it seems like he knows what he's doing. If you run...
Well, knows what he's doing again.
Again, yeah.
Because
again,
he
yeah.
used to he be...
Was great. Used to, yeah.
Also, Rob, in my scenario, TCU loses, USC's 3, plays Michigan first round.
Okay.
But if you run a bunch
of... Oh, shit.
If you run the ball well, if Cornum, whatever the fuck his name is back, you run the ball well, you got two guys running the ball well, and you can run play action, and you adjust your offensive play calling to shorter passes, right, that are outside of the box, two tight end sets that run outs and stuff like that to spread the defense out a little bit, you can still beat Georgia. But you can't do it if you play the same game he played against Ohio State with those long dropbacks. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, we'll find out. They're definitely in, even if they lose this weekend. Rob, what about you? Utah versus USC.
USC should be fine. These aren't the types of games typically that Lincoln Riley loses. It's in like 2 weeks from now or whenever the playoff starts. That's when Lincoln Riley really starts shitting his pants. That and then the game like Utah, right? Like he would always, Oklahoma, he'd always drop like that K-State type game, which Utah is a very K-State type program in the Pac-12. So he had his normal regular season loss. He'll win the conference championship like he's wont to do. Mm-hmm. And then he'll go to the first round of the college football playoff and get absolutely turned inside out by Georgia.
Yeah. I mean, when they played Georgia last time in the college football playoff, is a really good, like a really great game.
That was a lot more of an even matchup, certainly. And in fact, actually, you know what, though, about funny about that game?
Who would you rather take, Baker in college or Caleb?
Baker. In college?
Yeah.
Look at what Baker did. Baker had a better resume than Caleb in college.
Caleb's about to win the Heisman.
Yes. Like Baker did?
Yeah. Yeah, but we also don't know. Like, Caleb Williams is a sophomore, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to get to see him in a second year in the program with a great coach and a lot of fucking players around him. So let's pump the brakes on
that. Fair enough. Yeah. Also, I will say that about
the... questions.
I will say this.
But he's got to win the Natty to overtake Baker as a college college player.
Yeah.
This year or next year.
Or just advance, I suppose. I will say this, though, about that game with Lincoln Riley. Yeah, they played a really close game, except for the fact that Oklahoma was up fucking huge in the first half and then completely blew the game. Yeah. So that might be Riley's worst loss of the entire tenure. Like, fuck the blowouts. That loss is, like, egregious. He got blown out in the second half so bad. Like, he was given, like, what, a 20-point lead and lost that game.
Yeah, so he learned.
Did he want to just get fucked from the get-go?
We'll find out what happens. I think USC wins and beats Utah. I think Kansas State, when they know, whenever these lines, we've talked about this forever, but whenever these lines are wonky like this, I mean, it's a 2.5-point spread for 12 versus 4 here.
So what's that spread for Georgia, Ohio State, round one?
Oof, probably 10 to 12.
I bet 6.
You think 6?
Maybe 7.5.
It's double digits.
You think so?
Yeah.
With Ohio State?
Because, again, Georgia is just a better Michigan.
That's fair.
Yeah. And so for Ohio State, I think the only chance they would have is if all their guys come back. And that's it. But otherwise, yeah, that's probably a 10-point spread in that game, for sure.
Maybe 2 touchdowns, yeah.
Maybe. By the way, coaching hire just finalized right now. Hugh Freeze is going to Auburn. do you like it?
I love prostitutes on the plains.
Who doesn't?
That's a great hire for Auburn. What I'm trying to think of what happened over the weekend, though, with Lane Kiffin. Was he forced into keeping the Ole Miss job because of a reporter?
No.
You don't think so?
No, he's going to stay.
You think he was always going to stay?
Yes.
The smart... anyone...
Who's a more loyal man than Lane Kiffin?
Anyone? I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is the type of thing with, everyone else knew, like, Lane, well, you're insane to leave Ole Miss. Like, you have most of the resources of Auburn with, like,
none
half
of the
pressure. Yeah, yeah, like.
He might have figured that out over the week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
Auburn fans are fucking insane. Their booster's even worse.
I couldn't figure it out as this was taking place. I was like, man, is he doing it despite this reporter?
No.
Or did he want more money out of Ole Miss?
No, he's next in line. for that Alabama job.
Well, it's him or Dabo.
Yeah, it's gonna. He's waiting for that.
You think so?
Yeah. Okay. Because Saban for some reason loves Lane, and he's just gonna take him under his wing and just be like,
"Well, he's his next daughter, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, which one?
Yeah.
The one that beats up ladies.
Really?
Oh no. Saban's daughter beat the shit out of a woman, yeah. Beat
oh, that's right. I remember that story. Sister. Yeah, I remember that story.
Like, gave her a concussion, like, slamming her head into the wall.
That's right. It was fucking ruthless. But that's what Saban is, though. So it's like, hey, dude, you expect that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was the other way around, it wouldn't be that great. Also, Deion Sanders has confirmed that he was offered the Colorado job. Does he take that?
He should. That'd be cool.
I think it'd be cool, too.
Yeah. Colorado's like a sweet gig, I think.
Where are they going next year? Are they still Big 12?
They're Pac 12.
They're Pac 12, that's right.
Yeah. I don't think they're not going anywhere.
Pac 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cool campus. It's got a little history. You got Cordell.
Yeah. It's not Deion's speed, though.
No. And it's Deion freezing
really,
there.
Does Deion really want to fucking take? I mean, that is a massive rebuild.
Yeah. He's also going to lose another fucking toe up there in the cold.
In the freeze.
I don't think he's going to leave. His kid's got one more year. He's probably going to try to leverage this for another job, though. Like he's gonna
I'm with you.
He'll use the Colorado offer as bona fides to get a real job somewhere.
But I think he wants to stay in the South, probably.
I would expect so.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think he wants to fucking leave the South.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't. Yeah. Why the fuck would you?
No. I mean, that's polar opposite, literally. I mean, Jesus
here's
Christ.
Here's a wild scenario.
Okay.
Arkansas fans... getting a little anxious with Sam Pittman.
Yep.
Not really getting the results they thought they were going to get after year one.
Tough schedule.
It's always a tough schedule. Yeah. And
they had a lot of injuries.
But even they're out of conference. They were playing like BYU.
Cincinnati.
I think Arkansas had the toughest schedule in the nation, right?
It was close.
Yeah.
I think every team they played this year was bowl eligible last year.
Hmm.
Like the entire schedule, which is insane. And most of them that they played like are still. I don't think anybody that they played this year's.
And you know they ran into a buzzsaw late with Mizzou
always. But I mean, would Deion go to that? That is a good like middle to upper tier. Like a middle tier SEC West program with a high ceiling.
It is.
Well, they did hire Chad Morris at one point, so I guess anything's up.
Right.
Yeah.
What other jobs are going to be open? Soon.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of it, right? It was Auburn, and
they were pretty happy with Pittman after last year. So
they're like, not this year. No. They're getting pretty antsy about Sam Pittman.
I don't think he's leaving this year, though.
I don't think so either.
Neither's Deion, so maybe in a year or
two. A lot of stuff can happen between now and a year from now.
But again, like the coaching carousel is ridiculous. Patience is sometimes important. You see Mike Norvell, third year at Florida State, finally getting that program under control.
Yep.
People are calling for his job first year in. It's just like, no, dude, give him some time. Give some of these guys time to rebuild because some of these programs they get to are atrocious.
Right.
Yeah. And then if you keep, man, like player retention is hard enough when you do have a coach that's there the whole time or has been there for a couple years or whatever. But if your fucking coach is a turnstile, you basically have to go shopping on the transfer market for half your fucking roster.
Yeah.
And you basically have to do that anyway. And now it gets even worse because none of these dudes want to stick around because they don't know what the fuck's going on. Like it's not having patience with a coach is probably more costly now than it was.
Yes.
10 years ago. I don't know.
I agree. And same with the Ryan Day bullshit. Like, no. Unless you're bringing Urban back, there's no one left, bro. Like,
and that's why.
Just demote him.
Yeah.
Ryan Day is now offense coordinator.
He's 45-5 and in 3 years. Like, we're fine. Everything's fine.
I mean, well, you say that, but you're a good representation of the expectations people have for Ohio State.
Yes.
When I say people, I mean their alumni.
Yep.
The people that pay for all this shit to happen. And losing to Michigan
is unacceptable.
Yep.
Yep. And especially when you're outcoached.
Yeah.
But
it's good for the rivalry as a whole, though. Because if you just stomp Michigan every year, it's not really compelling.
It's not. And like, look, if you look since, 2000, I think the last time Michigan won back-to-back was when Brady was in college. And it was 99. It was his last year of college. And right. So... Look, they're 20-4 this century against Michigan. I know it's fine. Everything's going to be fine.
They're 1-2 under Ryan Day.
They are. Yeah. But the first win was 63 points he scored.
Is the house on fire?
It is not. And if they go to the playoffs and they get healthy, the dream would, my personal dream, just because the ratings were fucking massive, but Ohio State, Michigan, and a championship would be... it'd be like Duke, listen, Carolina. That's what I wanted to see last year.
I'm excited for Ohio State, Georgia. Somehow you guys pull an upset, and then my USC Trojans beat Michigan, and obviously house Ohio State in the championship.
Well, I've got, obviously I picked on the preseason show, Caleb Williams winning the Heisman this year, so that future did come true. Cash, I think, right? No, you can't take it away from him now.
He won, yeah.
Yeah, he won.
Stroud's not winning it after that.
No, that's it. He won, right?
He won.
Yeah, all right, I can cash that.
What about South Carolina? Because not for the CFP, obviously.
No, put them in. They're hot.
But they've got more ranked wins than Ohio State does.
By the way, they're in the rankings now, and I think they have 5 or 6 losses, right?
They have 4 losses, yeah. 8-4.
Yeah, 4 losses, yeah.
Rob, I want you to apologize to Shane Beamer right now.
I can't even express how helpless they looked when Missouri beat them. Like, it was bad.
Missouri beat them this year?
Yeah.
They couldn't score. They scored 10 points, and I think the touchdown was in garbage time.
Yeah, I mean, it was the most dominating win Missouri had all year. Like, it was bad.
So what happened to this team in the last 2 games that didn't happen the rest of the year?
Their offense came alive?
Yeah.
Yeah, but did they switch coordinators or something? Like,
no.
Oh, I think there was a switch in play calling.
Either way, he just got hired to Nebraska, their offense coordinator.
Yeah,
Matt Rhule just took his homeboy.
Yeah. I think there was
they took this guy?
Yeah.
I think there was a play calling switch with South Carolina. But I mean, like, and it was their offense that was the problem. Like, I mean, it was one of those games you're watching where you're like, oh, they're not going to score.
Because Spencer Rattler just came alive.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wait, this is actually what he was expected to do.
This is what happens with mediocre players, though. It's like Kirk Cousins. They'll have a good stretch. And you're like, fucking finally figured it out.
Yeah.
Nope.
No.
Sure didn't.
No. Him smoking that cigar, though, in the locker room afterwards was fucking hilarious.
The giant cigar?
That's a bit much for a regular season win.
Sure is. When you're an 8-4 team.
By 1 point.
Yeah, but you beat Clemson.
In the SEC West.
You knocked Clemson out of the playoff, essentially.
I think that's worth celebrating.
They knocked Tennessee out of the playoffs, too.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
Back to back.
Because if Tennessee wins out and Hooker's healthy, they're in. Tennessee is in.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, they're gone. So, real quick, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Tons to bet on this weekend. We got the Monday night game on tonight, which we'll get to in a moment. Obviously, college football. We got all the championships to bet on this weekend. Had a great run in the NFL. Looking forward to it. Shit, the last 2 weeks in the NFL, I've been unstoppable. I've only lost one fucking game. It's been great. Go to mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. By the way, if you don't put in $1,000, just put $100 or $10. It'll double that as well. It'll just go all the way up to $1,000. And then, as always, if you want tickets to any of these games that we're going to talk about here, go to drinkingbrostickets.com. And we got tickets for literally everything. It's about $10 cheaper than StubHub. A lot of people buying tickets on here, and it's been great. Let's get to tonight's game here and get your picks real quick.
Before that, though,
for my bookie.
Justice for James Madison not making their conference championship after beating Coastal Carolina by 40. Coastal's going. But because James Madison, it's their first year in the FBS, they have to sit out the conference championship in a bowl game.
Yeah, it's a probationary year.
They call it transition period. Yeah, yeah. I have no idea what the purpose is. Nobody is moving to weaker divisions.
Right.
Like,
you're moving up.
American Conference people are moving to the Big 12. So on, and Pac-12 is moving laterally to the Big 10. I mean, it's like, what the fuck is the purpose of this?
Yeah. Well,
they're not. That's not going to be the case for Texas and Oklahoma. It's not going to be the case for fucking UCLA and USC as well. Like, the real schools don't do that shit.
It has to be like D2 to D1 or whatever.
It's so fucking weird.
It's insane.
If it was D1 to D2, sure, I guess.
Right.
But I don't understand.
Not the other way around.
Yeah,
you're only playing better competition.
It's like a guy. It's like a catch weight fight where the guy that weighs less has to pay a penalty.
Yeah.
Strange. Does it make any sense?
Strange. So tonight's matchup is the Steelers against the Colts. This is at Indy. This is Colts -2.5. Over under is 39.5. Yikes. Mm. Who you got in this one, D'Anthony?
Steelers defense has looked pretty good lately, and the Colts don't have a great offense. I mean, Jonathan Taylor is a good running back, but they can't get their shit together against even middling teams.
Jeff Saturday's got that team humming right now.
They're playing hard. They definitely just lost last week, but he's 1-1.
Yeah.
Doing to the fine. Eagles. Their offensive line is playing better than it did before, and that'll have some that there'll be something to say about that. But the Eagles pass rush probably is not as good as the Steelers. Like of all the of all the things they're good at, the Eagles have
our strongest unit probably on the team is our defensive line.
Yeah, but it's because the pass rush is really good and the run defense is also really good, but they're not the best pass rushing team in the league or anything. Is what I'm saying.
Eagles are allowing a lot of points this year, a lot on defense.
don't read too much into that.
Okay.
They have one of the best defenses in the league. Like I said,
I won that over last night.
They probably have the most balanced defense in the league, actually. And if the Chargers had performed better this year, they probably would have been the most balanced because they have legit Hall of Famers at every line. But Philly does a really good job. Like, they have good defensive tackles. Everybody talks about edge rushers these days and all that shit, but defensive tackles make plays on running backs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That they can neutralize a running game. If you have two good defensive tackles and you have a middle linebacker that's fucking that can read offenses like that, you can shut people down.
Just rotate guys, well, too, because that's why we just signed Dominic.
Sue is a fucking great example of that.
Here's the most important stat, really, is that Philadelphia creates havoc because they lead the league by a wide margin in turnover differential.
Oh, yeah.
They are plus 13 in turn. They gave up 33 points last night, but they had two interceptions.
I mean, they have great linebackers. They've got great edge rushers. They've got great tackles. I don't know if any team has all three of those. And their secondary is pretty decent. I mean, it's not like you're not running out Hall of Famers like some of these teams are, but they're pretty fucking good.
Just a quarterback away.
That's it. Yeah. Minshew. Put Minshew in there.
Jalen Hurts is really fucking good.
He's good.
He's having a good year.
Those are my favorite shirts that somebody in Philly saw in Jalen Hurts' is good shirts.
Oh, yeah.
They've been selling them all year.
You know why, because everybody's thought the same thing.
But anyway, the point of all this is Pittsburgh they're going to make Matt Ryan hurry, and he's not good at doing that anymore. So there's probably going to be multiple turns. This is going to be a low-scoring game unless there's some defensive points scored, I think.
Yes, at 39.5. So are you betting this game at all?
Yeah, I'm going to take the under 39.5. I don't think they'll score that much.
Is Kenny Pickett playing?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Player prop.
Sure.
Kenny Pickett throws an interception. It's probably minus money.
Yeah.
You would probably owe money on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's probably like minus 135 or something.
I think there'll be, if there's some kind of prop with total turnovers for this game, I would take over 2 turnovers in this game.
And I'll take the Steelers to win, though.
Okay.
So outright? Steelers, what is it's it, 2.5?
Yeah.
I'll take 2.5 just in case something stupid happens and Indy wins by a point.
Okay. What do you got, Bob?
Indy covers. Pittsburgh's terrible.
Yeah.
And
they can't score.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Najee Harris, you see in the games where the Steelers have any output from the quarterback wide receiver game, Najee Harris has 100 yards, 80 to 100 yards in those games. When in the usual game, when they can't complete passes and shit, or even get the pass off in a lot of cases because their offensive line is beat to shit, it's like he's got like 30 yards on 15 carries. I'm like, God, what the fuck happened?
Didn't they put 30 on the Bengals?
Who?
The Steelers.
They may have, yeah. The Bengals are not very good defensively. Yeah, they scored 30.
Who you got, Bob? Who you got in this one?
Indy covers. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
I got Indy as well by a field goal. It's going to be a gross game tonight. Gross.
I'm not watching.
No.
I'll pop it. What else is on?
Life. I don't know. I'm not gonna be.
But something is gonna be on your screen in the background. What is it?
I'm just gonna sit by the fire with my wife and
read some Christmas stories.
Go over baby names.
Sure. Yeah.
That does sound better than Pittsburgh Indy. Like that does sound better.
Oh, it's a gross game tonight. Sorry, guys. As far as the rest of the games over the weekend, Bills got away with one on Thanksgiving. I want to talk about the ratings here. Holy shit. So two things happen over the weekend here, and I have a feeling gambling is involved in this. Giants-Cowboys was the highest regular season game ever at 44 million viewers there.
It's the markets, fan base.
Yeah, when's the last time that both of these teams were good at the same time?
It's been a while.
You know what I mean?
NFC like beast.
It would have been when Eli was there having one of his good years and Tony Romo was in Dallas.
Yep.
That would have been the last time, listed like 2012 maybe.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
But even then, I mean, all those Eli teams that won Super Bowls were like 9-7.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like battle for first place.
Yep. That Patriots game was fun that night against the Vikings as well. That was a good game. You had good games on all day. Lions should have won that game against the Bills. That fucking team, dude, plays underneath that coach. That coach, that they could be something.
The Lions are pretty close to having a good football team. Mm-hmm.
Pretty close, dude. The only problem is, how old is Goff now?
28.
He's not.
He's not.
He's young, but he's not gonna. You're not gonna win a title.
But it's
with that
guy. Fight mileage, right? Like he's been a fighter gets in the UFC, but they're 19, and then by the time they're 28, they just have all that mileage on them.
Right. Where
they're just beat to shit, all the scar tissue and everything. Jared Goff's been through it between the Rams with fucking.
Oh yeah, yeah. They were bad.
He was drafted by the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, sure was.
And Jeff Fisher.
Jeff Fisher.
Yeah. So, and Jeff Fisher didn't believe in him, so.
No.
He was always throwing them to the Lions.
Jeff Fisher only believes in his own mustache.
Yeah. No.
He believes in 7-9.
Sure does. But those ratings are massive. look for that off-season deal for the DirecTV deal that they had. Whoever gets that is going to spend a gajillion dollars on
it. It's
going to
cost about $2
billion. Maybe more. I mean, look at these ratings? It is astounding week after week, dude, what the NFL is doing. And I'm convinced it is purely for gambling because
I think another thing is that it's like it's just inoffensive background noise
now that they're not all fucking kneeling and doing stupid shit during the game to piss off people. Like, it didn't take very long for NFL fans to come back.
I don't
back.
Think that even, like, pissed anyone off. I think that was kind of, like, a talking point that was...
I think the percentage of people that pissed off so much that they left is not probably as big as people think. But like,
the ratings were down.
I mean, God knows. Like, they were. And that might be why. Honestly, it probably is, but...
There's a lot of super popular, large fan-based teams that are good again for the first time at a very long... Like, the Bills.
New York. Yeah.
Right? The Giants. The Dolphins are all, like...
Miami's a big market.
All three of those are playoff teams, and they've got huge nationwide fan bases and haven't been good.
Well, they're big market teams, too.
And also, you go over to your aunts or your grandmas, and you get the whole family together for the holiday. Like, what else are you going
to
do?
And what else? It's such a good, like, conversation piece or just something to have on in the background. Like, it really, like, we're college football.
Because what else are you going to talk about? Your, like, shitty cousin's pill problem? Like,
right.
Yeah.
You don't talk about
you
politics.
Don't address that.
Yeah, exactly. Politics. And then, speaking of which, on the college side, Ohio State Michigan was the highest rated regular season game in 17 years. So, football is on fire all the way around.
I think some chance, like, you know, it was really funny, not to go back to college or anything, but. Saban in his post game interview, one, he was talking shit about his own players, but in a funny way. He's like, yeah, a bunch of guys got hurt and went to the tent. I got hit in the fucking face. I get hit harder than anybody, and I didn't leave the game, which is really funny. It's a very self aware thing for him to do, which I didn't expect to see. But before the.
I think in real life, him and Belichick are probably pretty funny if you sat down and had dinner with
probably,
them.
Probably. But during the week last week on press day, I think it was on Thursday, he said, before I didn't really like the idea of expanding the playoffs, but now, you know, teams, there's some really good teams with multiple losses. Are there?
Yeah.
You know, but it made me think, because I'm looking at the NFC South, and I don't think any of those teams deserve to be in the playoffs. And I don't like that one just automatically gets in because they'll be a division winner. The basketball doesn't do it like that. And
Anymore.
And I think they have it right. Like the top fucking seven teams in the conference, go to the playoffs, and that's it. That's how it should be.
I need the Panthers to make the playoffs at 7-10.
Oof. It's probably going to be the Buccaneers, and they fucking suck. And it's not like they lost what's his name, Wirfs, last night, but they've been without Ryan Jensen all season. Their offensive line is not. It's like all
Brady
replacement
might
dudes.
Die, dude.
They're all replacement
Brady
dudes.
Might
you've got
die.
An old like. If you had a younger quarterback that was more mobile, maybe you could work around that. But you can't fucking work around that with Tom Brady at this point in his career. It sucks. None of these teams should be in the playoffs.
Kyle Trask.
You can blow up that whole division, in my opinion. Who cares?
But currently, right now, every team in the NFC East in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as well, they should.
Yeah, they should. And that's
Commanders are on a run.
But if you go back to what Dan was saying, and you just had it on record, right? Just based on record, and you eliminated the NFC South from this shit, I would rather watch that. Look, we know I fucking hate mediocrity here, obviously. I would rather watch that than give one of these shitbox teams a fucking free pass into the playoffs. Like,
and is Washington finally going to accept that, like, Heinicke might be their guy?
Because
he did
this
before.
I know.
He did this.
He did it last year.
Yes.
I
From what I hear from the team, the answer to that is yes.
Okay. Like, I hope so.
Rivera, well, so here the...
He wins.
But like next year, Rivera, he's going to move him forward. He's going to be their quarterback.
Rivera wants to be. Rivera right? wanted him to be the quarterback this year. This is what I was told.
Okay.
Rivera wanted him to be the quarterback. And as you heard in the press, and Rivera denied it because he had to, he didn't want Wentz to be there in the first place. That was a Dan Snyder situation.
Mm. Okay.
Right.
Well, that would make sense, yeah. right? Dan Snyder does shit like
just
that.
Just wait. The Commanders are they could win a playoff game, sure.
Yeah, they're getting
they
healthy.
Could. Yeah. The only problem but that when they
Chase,
have
but when Chase Young comes back, now you've got maybe a top 5 defense in the league. Yeah. And definitely a top 3 pass rush in the league.
I don't want to play him.
No.
No. And the only problem is that Sean Taylor statue, that tribute they did.
They can't get their shit together with that stuff.
It is fucking insane, dude. They put a mannequin, a wire mannequin there. Family was upset. Fans were upset. I mean, they didn't even try. They just put a mannequin in a glass box.
I think Washington might be the only team other than Philly that has a great front seven at both pass and run defense.
San Francisco.
San Francisco's. I still got San Francisco. San Francisco winning the gets NFC run on
sometimes.
But
they can get to the quarterback.
Think they they win the NFC this year.
They're scary.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to put up points against them
at right? all. They had a shutout this weekend.
All they really like you now. You've got the ability to run two of the most dynamic running backs in the history of football. Right. You can. You'll have Debo and fucking Christian McCaffrey on the field at the same time for most of your offense.
Debo's
plays.
Not running. He's not running back anymore. They moved him out to wideout.
They ran him four or six times last game. That's about what he's been getting. 4 to 6 touches. But he's also in the slot. He's also out wide.
But Mitchell's pretty good. They've been running Mitchell with McCaffrey, and they keep fucking winning, man. Since that happened, the rest of these teams. Bengals got to 7-4. Beat the Titans. Dolphins 8-3.
Fins up,
dude. They're what, one game back behind the Chiefs?
Why do they keep Tua in during blowouts?
I don't know, dude. I thought the same thing and I was like, what are you doing?
So he can win an MVP,
guy's gonna
maybe
fucking die out there.
He's
dude.
second, I think, on the MVP list right now to Patrick Mahomes, if you look at Vegas. Okay. I believe he's second place.
I think Mahomes probably has it, though.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. Yeah, unless Mahomes gets hurt or something, it's going to be. Cause,
or they just eat shit in a couple games.
Yeah. It's got to be more than that, though, because Tua missed two games entirely.
Oh, true.
If you count the fucking one that he got knocked out and he missed basically 3 games, it's going to be hard for him to catch. I think he's like 1,000 yards behind him.
Can somebody tell me who Mike White is?
He's the new starting quarterback for the New York Jets.
He's that sure dude. Is.
He was 22 for 28, 300. And 3 TDs.
To be fair, he did this last year against the Bengals, where he had a game where he threw for like 400 yards.
He's Matt Flynn all over again. Remember that guy from the Packers?
Yeah, will this guy be good or not? Yeah, I remember.
Who knows?
He's fine.
The Jets have a good core of a team, except for the quarterback. Like, this, it wasn't just the poor play that knocked Zach Wilson out of the starting lineup. It's that he got challenged on his poor play and tried to do everything but say it's his fault.
Right.
Like, even if you don't believe that, you say it out loud. Yeah, it was me. I need to play better. And because you got a room full of 53 grown men and you're the one that's failing, the reason they're losing games, whether perceived or reality, that's what fucking people are saying. You don't say, you point the finger and you're the goddamn quarterback.
Yeah.
You can't, and under no circumstances can you point a finger at anybody else.
You'd think someone who lived under the BYU honor code would would understand that.
Also,
the guy that was banging his friend's moms under the BYU honor code. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Western Kentucky right now has two notable quarterbacks in the NFL.
Who?
You got Mike White.
Mike White, and who else?
And you got Zappe.
Oh, that's right. Zappe
He didn't play. Mac Jones had like 400 yards.
He looks great. I watched that game. It was a fun game to watch. I had money on it, so I was watching.
I can't with that guy.
I did. Well, I have money on the Vikings.
Like, how do you have a dad bod at 21 years old?
Yeah,
ask every SEC fraternity member.
Seriously.
If you see a guy in a polo shirt and a visor, chances are there's not a six pack underneath his shirt.
Yeah. Anybody that like lives in the South
or Dallas. But the problem is there are still fucking like 8 to 10s.
Oh yeah.
Because there's no competition.
There's no competition. It's nuts.
They don't believe in gyms.
Right. So the market has set their body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's now, a simpler life.
The market set the standard for a franchise quarterback at somewhere from $220 to $250 million for a 5-year deal. And the Broncos made the worst decision in NFL history by giving – this is literally the worst contract in NFL history.
I think
And we're not even halfway through it.
And Sam Durr beat him. He beat him.
Jamarcus Russell's pretty bad.
Well, he was, but he was the first pick.
That was in Oakland, right?
Yeah.
He was the first pick in the draft. And that was
before they had set him out, though. I think he got paid a lot of money.
He did.
But that's you got to throw out the Al Davis stuff. Right, because that's not a rational
I'm not actor. Throwing away his eternal flame, okay? But that lives on forever.
A first pick in a draft is a different story. Picking off a guy at 35 years old to come and be your quarterback and then give him 250.
Is he 35?
It's got to be, right?
Has anyone understood the position they've played less than John Elway?
Yeah.
I mean, he is crazy. Getting to Michael Jordan levels of drafting.
He's 33.
You know what I mean? Like, it's Elway and Jordan are putting in, like, master classes of, like, I know what I did, but I don't understand.
Charlotte's at least fun now.
At least Elway doesn't go down to the quarterback's room and completely annihilate fucking Russell Wilson like he did to Kwame Brown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I guess that's one thing. Jesus Christ.
But also, who's their coach? Nathaniel Hackett?
Who knows?
Who knows? But on the Broncos, what is that? On their the Broncos homepage, awful. It says the Broncos just hit rock bottom. How Russell Wilson has declined. Who's to blame and what's next? Well, nothing. Because he's 250. You're 250 in the hole on Russell Wilson, so he's staying.
How much guaranteed, though? I'm sure there's a certain point where you can just cut ties.
I think it was 180.
It would be after three more seasons from now that they could cut him without taking a double
three
salary cap
more
hit.
Years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Trevor Lawrence is finally having a lot of success.
He looks good. He looks good in that game.
The best quarterback in the last month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you just threw everything else.
I know. And yeah, he's got a good coach. That could be a fun team for the future. Good for him. Chargers went for two.
Well, even better is that they've only had mediocre success this year, which means they're still going to get a fucking top 15 draft pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is nice for them because they're doing all of
there's a bunch of stuff to fill.
They're only 4-7, so they're not like going crazy, but he's having a lot of success and they have, they don't have one number one receiver on that team. Right, they don't have one premier receiver. I think that's what they're going to grab in this draft.
We'll find out. There's a ton of them available. I'm trying to think.
Have the Jaguars ever had like a dude at receiver?
Well, when Brunell was there, they had to, right? Because Brunell almost won MVP
Fred Taylor
twice.
Was their running back. Who was the receiver at that point? I'm trying to think.
That was it 2011?
I know who you're talking about.
Like 97, 98.
Yeah, there was one guy.
Blackman was supposed to be.
Was it Jimmy Smith?
Jimmy Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy Smith. That's
I think it's the only receiver they've ever had.
So in this game, the Jaguars went for two at the end. In the Chargers game, they went for two at the end. Now, we saw LSU do this, and then magically everybody else is going for it. Is this going to be the new trend at the end of the game? Just go for two instead of going to overtime?
If the analytics say so.
Well, for the Jaguars, what do you have to lose? Who gives a shit, right? Another loss is another loss. Chargers are actually playing for the playoffs, so... Yeah, I understand doing it, and you're not at home. Raiders and Seahawks, look, man, they could have done the same thing, I guess. So what do? Do you go for two now at the end of the game?
I always think you should go for two if you're on the road. Or if you're a team that like isn't playing for anything.
Okay. So in both of those instances, they were. the Raiders and Seahawks did not. And
especially since they moved back the extra point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, eh. So
I think
field goal kickers are missing extra points these days.
You should always. Well, I mean, not always, but I almost always you should go for two and try to win.
How?
Because you're limiting your exposure. Like I only have to make one good play here to win this game. But even if I fucking kick the extra point and then they score and I have to go score, even if they don't score, I still have to go score, which is going to be a 6-11 play drive,
right?
Minimum, right? That's a lot more exposure. To fuck up.
And if you're the obviously worst team.
Yeah, you got to go for it.
You have to.
End the game.
Yeah. Man, if I see Derek Carr cry one more time, by the
way. Yeah, why is he crying? He's crying even during wins now.
Yes, dude, every game.
Jesus fucking Christ.
It's like Clemson football, storming the field every game.
Yeah.
I'm starting to believe that he lied about the eyelashes and that it really is makeup and it's starting to get into his eyes.
Maybe.
Not Maybe. Mako. They're just so long that they go into his eye that it causes the tears to come out.
We'll see.
You're a quarterback on a team full of alpha dudes, the best athletes in the world, and you're fucking just bawling in front of them every week.
It's crazy.
He went to Fresno. Like,
yeah, went to Fresno State. That's what they do there.
It's a weird spot.
Melvin Gordon just signed with the Chiefs, by the way, so he's on their practice squad.
He's felt like he's been held back in Denver.
Well,
which
that's,
being on the same roster as Russell Wilson is true, but he was also fumbling.
Man, if only the Chiefs had a coach that could bring the best out of them.
I know, right? That's a great move. I like it.
The Chiefs are like the new home for wayward offensive talent.
Yeah, island of misfit toys.
Like exactly. It's like any dude that gets cut for some disagreement or because people don't think he's that good anymore or whatever reason, they're like, yeah, we'll take him.
Yeah.
Bring
like,
him on over here.
Or they want to go. They're like, fix me.
Le'Veon Bell, come on. I mean, nothing good happened out of that, but their draft picks haven't been all that great lately. You know what I mean?
No.
Like fucking
running back in particular.
Yeah, they wasted, what was it, the 32nd or the 36th pick or something?
Edwards Hilaire was first round.
He was first round, last pick.
So it was 32nd
pick. Yeah. Andy did not have the best record as a drafter with the Eagles either.
Yeah. The Chiefs are fine.
Todd Pinkston's
he drafted
world.
Patrick Mahomes. So
I'm not saying they're bad, generally speaking, at drafting. Yeah. I'm saying Andy Reid's real strength is what he was just saying, is taking a guy that has an obvious skill set and turning it into something with the program he's developed in Kansas City.
Right.
Which isn't that when you have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce on the same team. Look, you've got a lot of freedom of movement there.
Yeah,
sure. Sure. We'll switch on over here to soccer. U.S. plays Iran tomorrow.
I believe that we can beat Iran.
Can we?
I hope so. I put money on it.
Giorgio, what do you got here? U.S. beats Iran, yes or no?
We need to.
We have to. We can't tie.
Well,
if we tie, they
I know
advance.
We need to, but are they going to?
Yes. I think we found our groove against England. We actually looked pretty good against England.
We did.
We did what I said was going to happen against England, is play defense the whole time and not even try to score.
Well, no, we tried to score. We outshot
England. In the second half.
Yeah,
they got a little loose with it.
This is the exact same situation the U.S. was in 2010 when Landon Donovan scored his miraculous goal, Slovenia or whatever. Mm-hmm. All they had to do was tie, and the whole fucking game, they sat back, and it was like the cruelest fucking thing.
It was.
Tim Howard threw the greatest touchdown pass in football history.
Yeah.
To fucking Lando.
That
and
was
then
great.
We scored last minute.
Yeah.
Advanced. That brought something out of me.
It did.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to see. Giorgio, do you think they win? For real? Like, do you put money on this?
I don't put any money on this.
Really?
Yeah.
I put money on
it. You think Iran's got a chance to win this game?
USA's -105 money line.
That's not great.
Well, for to win. Like,
there's,
you don't
there's
get
three
money.
Outcomes.
If you tie, you do not win.
I know.
Or get your money back. You lose.
Yeah,
so a draw is, I think, like 240.
Yeah.
Plus 240.
The odds are different when there's three outcomes instead, too. Yeah.
I don't believe in the U.S.
I
don't really know
men's
what
soccer
I don't,
team.
What kind of game does Iran play?
They beat Wales 2-0.
But I mean, like, what's the style? I don't really know much about
they'll
them.
They could play a little. They'll probably pack it in, like Giorgio was saying, because they just need to draw. They'll play for 0-0.
Oh, that's all Iran needs is a draw.
Yeah.
It's going to
be
difficult. They advance?
Yeah. Yes.
If you have,
shit.
If you have a competent midfield, especially, and you're just like, that's what the U.S. did against England. If you have a competent midfield and you're able to play defensively, it's tough to score sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Iran probably wins. Well, not wins.
They draw.
Probably make it out
of
the group stage.
Yeah. Yeah. They tie, huh?
I really.
What's that tie coming in at? What do you.
It's like 240 plus 240.
Plus 240? That seems like the most obvious outcome to me.
Yeah.
This is also.
If you're not American, though. I believe in America.
Yeah, I believe in America. We're -105. We're going to win this game. We're going to trounce them, actually. Fuck Iran. We're going to beat Iran 3-0.
This is a revenge game, too, for the 98 World Cup, where they shockingly beat us. It was like a brutal loss for the U.S. It was one of the U.S.'s worst losses in World Cup history.
Yeah. Well,
it seems like we have a lot of those.
Sure does. Mm-hmm. Sure does. I have zero confidence in men's soccer for this country. So
I believe that we made the right choice because we went with all like guys under 25, which is the move. Because like fuck all the olds.
Yeah. I think it's the move for the future. But whether or not they can advance now,
our goalie's at least sick.
He is. He's great. He's great. We'll see what happens tomorrow. It'll be on. I know that it'll be on at the studio because we'll be here. What is it? 1 Central tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, that should be just right in time for in between RPR and Drinking Bros.
I believe I can fly.
So we'll have a fucking answer tomorrow.
It's not. Nobody's going to beat France, I don't think.
I hope not, because I actually bet on France to win. 6-1. 200
bucks. Okay.
Yeah. Brazil's actually playing a little bit better than they did in their last couple of friendlies, even though Neymar's out. But I don't know that that's...
He's the problem.
Yeah, I don't know that... Do you think he's the problem there? Or
he's the problem.
It could be.
Well, because, he's out, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that happened in France, too. Benzema was kind of jamming things up by not being... Olivier Giroud, who's like an old Arsenal dude, plays the same position. He's been playing in Benzema's stead, and he moves the ball around a lot more and doesn't isolate as much, and it's been very effective for France.
And Mbappe is just going off right now.
Yeah, he's that dude's on fire. Yeah. It's like...
It's fun to watch. Yeah.
It is.
The World Cup is fun. I don't care if you hate soccer.
Same. I put it on the background. I don't care what country's playing. It's on. It's soccer, on in the background. I wish it was on tonight versus this Colts game.
Soccer is edging. Right? Think about it. So you're on the edge of your seat for 90 minutes hoping for one good thing to happen.
Yeah. It's true.
That's what it is. It's edging.
You actually do bust, it does feel good.
Yeah, you sure do.
But you could go weeks without busting. That's the problem.
Yeah, and that is the issue. That's a perfect way to end the show today, kids. Just remember, you could go weeks without busting. Okay? Go to mybookie.com, bet with us or against us. Use promo code DRINKINBROS to double that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. And again, if you want to see any of this stuff, including the World Cup, if you're in Qatar, go to drinkingbrostickets.com. There's tickets available for you. Plenty of seats over in Qatar. Turns out people actually want to drink when they watch soccer in a stadium. Who knew?
Well, Budweiser just filed a lawsuit to get their $47 million back.
I sure did.
And they will get it.
Yep. Yeah. They will.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Budweiser gets richer. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I'm just saying, oh, no. FIFA loses $50 million.
Yeah. No. Qatar.
Qatar.
Yeah. Qatar?
Qatar has to pay for it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They got to pay for it.
Oh, no.
Know, oh, no. Right? It's like they don't have it. Now.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Qatar might as well just write the check.
Or just drop off gold bars at the
That would be really funny if they. Just liquid gold or something in a vat. Like, here you go.
MBS, good luck spending it, bitch. MBS actually just buys, like, Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah, why not?
Then he makes Khashoggi the CEO.
Exactly. R.I.P. Khashoggi. Yeah.
And then he just hands it off to Qatar.
There you go.
Yeah, Budweiser's new embassy ale.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, kids. For Dan, the new Anthony Holloway, Delco Dan, Hot Bob, Papa Giorgio, Ross Patterson, this is the Monday Morning Recap Show. Good morning, everyone.